Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk with Herb Titus, who's a constitutional attorney. We're going to talk about the subject of President Obama and amnesty. Now, the Constitution allows for the executive branch to issue executive orders. But is that the case when Congress is in session, or when Congress has explicitly said, we don't want to pass such and such legislation? Is it okay for the president to then say, well, I don't care, I'm going to go ahead and write my executive orders, even when they're contrary to what the people's elected representatives have said in the ballot box? Joining us now is Herb Titus on Vocal Point. So, Herb, explain this, and especially let's get into the issue of amnesty and the Obama administration.
Well, the issue really came to a head in a lawsuit filed by Texas and a number of other state governments that were protesting a specific action taken by President Obama to defer action. That's the language that's used, to defer action on a great number, it was probably 3 to 5 million illegal aliens that were in the country, defer action that would otherwise, get them out of the country on one ground, and that was that one person in the family was a American citizen, and this was basically an anchor baby, and we should talk a little bit about that. The enforcement of citizen law in America, if someone is born within the geographic boundaries of the United States, even if they're traveling through on vacation, or like in these instances, they were illegally in the country, automatically becomes a citizen of the United States. And what that means then is, especially with people from Mexico and Central America, is they send their people up here to have babies, because once they have babies, then it brings in a whole family. And what this action of Obama was to suspend deporting any of those people who had anchor babies. And what that meant, of course, was that that's 3 to 5 million people that now are going to be living in a state like Texas or New Mexico or Florida, which means that the state is going to have to be responsible for them because they're going to be living there. And so they will get the benefits of being lawfully present. They get driver's licenses and so forth. And so that's the reason why Texas brought the lawsuit. It said, hey, President Obama, you don't have authority to do this, and you're putting a tremendous financial burden on all of the states, because it's the states are going to have to take care of these people, find jobs for them, and provide education for the children and so forth.
Now, didn't President Obama say a couple of years ago, hey, I've got a pen and I've got a phone. If the Congress isn't going to act, then it's my duty to go ahead and, you know, work around them for on behalf of the American people.
Well, that's exactly what he did here, because Congress had addressed the question. It was called the DREAM Act. They had addressed the question in a DREAM Act and taken no action, or had defeated it two or three times. So this was a situation where Obama was changing the rule, not because Congress didn't say anything about it, but because they had been defeated at the congressional level, so they went out and did it on their own, on an executive action. I mean, this is an act of a king, not an act of the President of the United States.
Yeah, I think that's important to underscore here. I mean, this is, it's like tyranny, essentially.
Well, it is, and one of the defenses raised by the government in this lawsuit that Texas brought in order to challenge the constitutionality of what the president is doing, and by the way, Jerry, this lawsuit is before the United States Supreme Court as we speak. It's not being orally argued, but it has been, and it will be decided by the court this term by June. But one of the things the government argued is it told the states, you can't sue us. You don't have any standing. You don't have any legal claim against the United States, and therefore you can't even come into this court. It'll be interesting to see what the United States Supreme Court says about that, but that's a major issue here.
What's interesting, too, is that I understand the Supreme Court has, not related to this issue, but on a few occasions, the Supreme Court has actually rebuked the Obama administration, saying, you have overreached here, you know, in terms of executive authority.
Yes, and unfortunately, this kind of action in the presidency goes back a number of years, back, of course, initially in the New Deal era. But Congress in many ways is responsible for this kind of overreach because they normally pass statutes that are so broad that they delegate the rulemaking authority and power to the administrative agencies or to an executive branch. So they're actually vesting legislative power that's vested in the Congress of the United States. What Congress is doing is delegating that power to some administrative agency or some commission or some executive branch that will then be administered by people who are never elected and never responsible to the American people for what they do.
All right, now let's talk about the open borders situation. This is obviously something of great concern to the American people. We've even seen people like Phyllis Schlafly, who's a lifelong conservative, and here she has been endorsing publicly Donald Trump. And I think it's really over the issue of the wall and of the borders more than any other thing. I mean, what kind of Supreme Court nominees would Trump be bringing to the floor as opposed to, let's say, the promises made by somebody like Ted Cruz? But all politics aside, comment on the open borders and the wall and all this, because I mean, the American people themselves are upset.
It's a twofold question. First of all, it's an identity question. It's really a question, are we the United States of America and a sovereign, independent nation from other nations if we don't have borders, if our borders are so porous that anybody can come in any way they want to come by their own rules, then you're basically undermining your identity. It's like what Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor, said. He said, if you have if you have people coming in who don't want to assimilate, they want to come in and do their own thing, then what you have is an invasion. You don't have assimilation, you have an invasion. And of course, the states are almost helpless when it comes to that because the government says, no, we're the ones that protect your borders. And so if the border control doesn't protect the borders, then nobody can protect the borders. They take that out of the state's hands, again, putting that tremendous burden upon all the states in the union. But it's not just an identity issue, and of course what goes, the reason why the identity is so important is we know that that's God's system. It's a system of nations. It's not to be a one-world government. We've learned that from the Tower of Babel. So the other issue is it's also an economic issue, and that is whether or not we're going to have a national economy or whether we're going to have a global economy. And what has been proved up to this particular point, Jerry, is that a global economy is destructive of the economic health and welfare of the nation, driving manufacturing jobs out of the country and, in many ways, impoverishing the middle class.
We've
seen, the ones getting hurt by all of this.
Yeah, and we've seen situations where in some companies, literally the person who is an employee has to train an illegal alien, or maybe they're here with permission. They should be, otherwise how can they have a job? But anyway, they have to train somebody, and then they get fired once the person's trained, and so that way the company can pay them less money.
Yeah, and then, of course, in this technological age, where so much is done by computers, you can hire companies that are in India or all over the world where the wage scale is much less. And that's what people do. They outsource those kinds of jobs to other countries. When our founders established the United States of America, they had in mind a national economic identity, a national economic entity. And the reason for that was, of course, the powerful mercantilist businesses that were established by old European wealthy people, East India Company, the Hudson Bay Company. All of these were mercantilist enterprises, and one of the reasons for establishing the United States of America was such that the states would be able to freely have commerce with one another, but they would protect that commerce from intrusion by economic units from other countries. Well, that's gone by the wayside. Now, of course, what you see is that you see this Pacific Trade Pact proposal of President Obama and Hillary Clinton realizing that the Democrats are getting hurt by this, says, no, I don't agree with it, although she had agreed with it before. So you have the NAFTA and all of these that are basically undermining and destroying our economy.
Now, in the meantime, the wall that I guess there have been some laws on the books which implied that there would be a wall built or whatever, and it's never happened, defying the will of the people. And I understand that the Obama administration has even taken actions where they basically undercut the work of the Border Patrol and so forth. So it's like, wow, we do indeed have porous borders. I'm not even sure if that's legal in terms of the laws on the books, you know, about securing the border.
Well, I think that's the one thing that is driving people like Phyllis Schlafly, because what she says, and I think she's got a very good argument here,
okay,
is that if you don't have integrity in your borders, then how can you maintain the system of government, the liberties that we enjoy over time? Because what's happening is that used to be that we screened the people before they came into the United States. We wanted to know, are you going to assimilate it? Do you want to live this way? What is the record that you have that would assure us that you would be committed to the system of government that we have? Notice what one of the major problems we've got are Muslims invading America. And the Islamists don't have the same principles of government,
yeah,
of limited government and freedom of speech, freedom of religion, as we are founded upon those principles.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. The Muslims committed to Sharia would be a serious, serious problem. And then part of the problem, too, is there's a doctrine within Islam which allows you to lie if it will advance the cause of Allah. And so even if somebody said, oh, hey, I'll assimilate, they may be lying. Now, thankfully, the radical Muslims represent a small percentage of the total, but it's still a lot of people, you know, numerically.
Yeah, well, we have to remember that while there are many people who are not radically Muslim, they don't speak out against it.
Well, that's because if they do, they might get killed by the radicals.
Well, that's precisely the point.
Yep.
And of course, that's the difference. You know, the Islam is a sword. It's a religion of the sword. Everything is coercible under Islam, whereas the United States is based upon a Christian principle where there are certain things that belong exclusively to God,
right,
and you're protected from civil government coming in and forcing you to believe something or say something or threaten your life if you say something that the government doesn't want you to say.
Does the concept of the anchor baby, is that to be found in the Constitution?
Well, it's a misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment. It has to do with if you were born in the country subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Well, it was designed for the purpose of basically making citizens out of the newly freed slave class. The United States Supreme Court had, in a case, the Dred Scott case, basically made it impossible legally for a person who had been brought over here as a slave to ever become a citizen.
Mm.
So what they did is they changed the rule because they had a whole class of people that didn't even know where they came from.
Mm.
So they would be stateless if they hadn't passed the 14th Amendment. But the important thing is that this subject to the jurisdiction thereof is not just being physically within the four boundaries of the United States, but as a subject to the jurisdiction, as a person who is in the role of citizen in the country. And that's what's been the problem.
All right.
I mean, think about it for a minute. Why should someone automatically be a citizen if they're born in the United States to a French couple who happen to be vacationing in Chicago? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, how about a closing thought on the issue of Obama and the borders?
Well, I think that the key is going to be this lawsuit. We'll have to see whether the United States Supreme Court,
Texas,
as it's presently constituted, is going to stand against this kind of lawless activity or whether it's basically going to go along. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Herb Titus, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. HerbTitus.com for more information. God bless you, sir.
And God bless you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.